Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
But right now, the Environmental Protection Agency published a study earlier this week which showed that over a third of people in Ireland are alarmed about climate change and see it as a real and immediate threat. But as the climate crisis becomes a bigger and bigger issue, should we not have a greater level of alarm? To talk more about this, I'm joined on the line by journalist and author George Monbiot. George, thank you for joining me this morning. The figures say that 34% of people are alarmed in Ireland. On the other hand, 4% of people are still doubtful about it. Should we be more alarmed and informed about what's going on around us?
Yes, I mean, my first response was, well, did the other 66% not understand the question? I mean, what does it take now for people to see? We are facing the greatest predicament humanity has ever faced, which is the potential collapse of habitable conditions on Earth. This is a bigger crisis than any of the wars, the famines, the terrible things that have happened to humanity in the past, because it closes the window in which humanity can flourish. And because the global environmental system is a complex system, and complex systems have tipping points, and you never know quite how close to a tipping point you might be. You know, we could be merely years away from absolute disaster.
Now, I suppose the question is, you mentioned wars, you mentioned should we, you know, this is more serious, but it's whether people are taking notice of it or whether they can take all of this in, I suppose, or whether perhaps they need better leadership and political leaders around the world to better navigate this crisis, George.
Yeah, I mean, there's a combination of really big problems. One of them, I have to say, is the media, with some obvious notable exceptions, particularly the billionaire press. You know, we have a media which is strongly biased against environmental action and casts doubt on environmental science, attacks people who try to act on environmental science, and keeps people in a state of low information and misinformation. Then you're absolutely right. We have governments which are failing to rise to the challenge. Years ago, Tony Blair pointed out that the political cycle is out of sync with the environmental cycle. You know, you've got 5 years in which to make your splash as a government. You don't care what's going to happen in 10 or 15 or 20 years. That's going to be someone else's problem. Or if it's your problem, well, then you'll have to pivot towards it at that point. But it's that long-term thinking is generally absent from politics.
I want to ask you about the Just Stop Oil protests, George, because earlier this week, 8 people were arrested after protesters targeted Gatwick Airport's departure gates. And this was 2 weeks after 5 other Just Stop Oil activists received record sentences for planning to block the M25 motorway in London. You'd like the new Labour government to change current laws.
Yes, we have a series of draconian anti-protest laws in the UK, whose purpose really is to shut down civil disobedience and protest. Now, I see protest as the wellspring of democracy. All our fundamental rights come from it. The right to vote, the right to speak freely, the right of women to control their own lives, even the right to the weekend came about as a result of protest. And if you shut that off, you know, not only are you preventing people from trying to draw attention to this massively neglected, huge predicament that we face, but you also shut off our ability to respond and react and engage with any of the issues which affect society, and you shut down that mechanism for democratic improvement.
Can I ask you as well, George, about COP29, because financing will be a central focus at this year's United Nations Climate Conference, which takes place in Azerbaijan in November. Are you hopeful that progress can be made there?
There's been so many years without progress on this. I mean, the story that's been told is that the rich nations will provide a $100 billion global fund for climate finance, and they just completely failed to do so. But at the same time, global fossil fuel subsidies amount to $2 trillion a year. The priorities are completely upside down, and what they reflect is the lobbying power of fossil fuel businesses, which seems greatly to outweigh the interests of the electorate.
What do you expect will happen here? A lot of focus on the countries not playing their part, not doing enough to pay. Others often cite that as the reason why other countries don't take action.
Well, there's a perfect circle of finger pointing, isn't there? Everybody says, well, I'm not going to move until they move. And the next person says, well, I'm not moving until they move. We have to see leadership. We have to see particularly the powerful nations stepping up and saying, OK, we're going to take the lead on this. Follow us. And until that happens, the impasse isn't broken. And so, you know, people have endlessly got excuses for not taking action because others aren't. We have to break that circle.
We're following the Olympics throughout the week here on the programme and this morning as well, with interest in what's going on in Paris. And we'll be going back there very shortly as well, George. So I'm interested to ask you about it. Organisers of these Paris Olympics said it would be the greenest in Olympics in the event's history. But then there's been talk about athletes not happy without air conditioning in the sweltering heat. Some brought their own air conditioning units. I suppose on one hand, people might wonder, could you blame them? On the other hand, does it defeat the whole purpose of these promises on sustainability? What do you think?
Yeah, it reflects, doesn't it, the paradoxical nature of this crisis, because the worse the crisis gets, the worse we make it, because in our response to it, particularly with air conditioning, of course, we're producing far more carbon emissions than the rest of it. I mean, I totally get what France is trying to do, and it has to be said, they've been outstanding on some environmental aspects. I mean, it's the stated intention of the French presidency to create an ecological civilization. And they're training every single French official, that's 5.6 million people, in ecological principles. Now, that is the kind of leadership that I was talking about. That's what we need to see. But of course, you know, there will be costs to it. You know, there's always going to be some winners and some losers. And I totally understand that people complain about conditions being too hot, primarily because of climate breakdown. But, you know, we have to try to navigate these very fraught and difficult issues.
Should they be doing more so, considering the emissions of previous Olympic Games?
Yeah, I mean, the Olympics themselves are a real problem, because, you know, I think it's irrational to put them in a different place every year, because you have to have this massive pulse of construction, which has enormous environmental impacts, often displaces many people from their homes, causes a great deal of social disruption. You know, why not just have the Olympic Games in the same place every year? Every 4 years. You would still have the Olympic Games. It wouldn't spoil them one bit, but you could massively reduce the environmental impact by doing that.
The Paris organisers would say they didn't build as much as other countries for the Olympics. They used a lot of their existing infrastructure. They're trying their best.
Yeah, well, it's true that it's in some respects better than a whole load of other games that have taken place in the past. But there's still been a lot of people displaced by it. And of course, there is still a very significant environmental impact from all that building. It just seems really profligate in an age of climate crisis to be saying, right, let's start from scratch this year, and we'll start in another country and build a whole lot of infrastructure which wasn't there before, when that is actually unnecessary, as you've got so many countries which already have Olympic standard infrastructure.
George Monbiot, journalist and author, thanks very much for joining me on the programme this morning.